Our study tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, God's warning to mature in spiritual discernment. A number of the members of our church have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, and they often seek support in biblical truth to counter the strong errant indoctrination they experienced in their past. The Epistle to the Hebrews was written to counter the errant traditionalism of first century Judaism that was similar in theological thrust to much of Catholicism. So we study Hebrews for edification in this matter. And we view Hebrews 5, 11 to 14 on God's warning to mature in spiritual discernment. And this applies to handling all error, whether it's Roman Catholic views and practices or the errant views and practices of any other entity. I want to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Of whom, he's called Melchizedek in Christ after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, or solid food literally, belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is one of those passages that's very pithy, full of content. The author of Hebrews wrote to Hebrew believers who were under pressure from unbelieving fellow Hebrews to return to their ancestral faith that consisted of dead legalistic Judaism. This warning thus applies to believers today who have come out of Roman Catholicism and who are tempted to yield to pressures from former Catholic associates to return to or to compromise with the Catholic faith. However, other errant belief systems can pressure believers to yield to their errors. For example, we here at Nepog Church face the pressure to abandon the dispensationalist view of the Bible that we have had for over 50 years with its pre-tribulation rapture and premillennial view of Bible prophecy. Amillennialists and post-tribulationists tend to unite with Marxists to promote social reform versus what we dispensationalists, pre-tribulational, premillennial believers do, who hold that social reform is futile due to man's sin until Christ returns. So we instead focus on discipling. Brandon House brings this out in his book, Marxianity. There's been a tremendous push towards dominion theology, Reconstructionism, and that all comes with amillennialism, which says that what the church's job to do is to build the kingdom of Christ here on the earth by gaining control of the governments and whatnot, and instead of focusing really on discipling people for the world that is to come. The view that we have is that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. The church will never win this. What we need is an invasion from outside Jesus Christ at his second coming. And that leads us to hold to the premillennial and the pre-tribulational view. Accordingly, Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 14, briefly but very poignantly address the cause and the cure of this lack of discernment. The author of Hebrews noted that though he had much to write on Christ's Melchizedekan priesthood, he found it hard to explain since his readers had become sluggish in hearing. It's the Greek word is nothros. It means hard of hearing. Indeed, the readers by the time the epistle was written should have been teachers of the truth, but they still had need to teach of one to teach them again the very elements of the truths of God. Stoikeia tes arkeis ton logion tou theou. It comes from the word stoikeia. That is the very basics of the Christian faith. The readers as spiritual babies needed the milk of the word, not the solid food of maturing believers, for they were unskilled in the word of righteousness since they were very immature believers. Many years ago when I was Bible college, we had a one of the founders of the school, Dr. Mitchell, told us, he said, young people, the church today is full of little babies who have never grown. They stayed there. They're Christians, but they haven't grown. Well, the cure for such an immature lack of discernment is provided in Hebrews 5, verse 14. This is a tremendous verse. Hebrews 5:14 from the Greek text asserts that mature believers who can handle the solid food of Scripture can do so to the practice, hexis, of their discerning or the sense or the faculty, aistheterion, so that they have become permanently trained by exercise, gegumnasmina. It actually comes from the verb gumnazo, which means to exercise in a gymnasium. And the Greeks would exercise in gymnasiums, and they would build themselves up. And as you exercise, you got good at practice. It's like learning how to shoot baskets in a gymnasium. You shoot, and eventually you get better and better. And that's the whole idea behind this. You have to train by practice to be able to discern both good and evil. Now, the word distinguishing or discerning is diakrisis. And both good and evil, you have a double conjunction here, te and kai, good both and evil. So there's a discernment of not only evil, but discernment of that which is good. Now, this development of spiritual discernment involves several important steps as follows. To start to mature discernment, a believer must apply Scripture to his life. It's not enough to go to church and just listen. You have to go to church to listen or read your Bible in Bible studies or the Bible study that you're at and apply it. And try to apply it that day. Apply it Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so forth. Make it part of your life. Such an application must occur consistently over an extensive period of time. You don't learn how to shoot a basket with a basketball unless you practice and practice a lot. It takes a lot of practice. And you have to learn that your hands and your fingers actually should do the fine-tuning. You shouldn't be pushing so much with the arm. You need to push with your legs, and then your hands do the fine-tuning, and then you can become more adept at getting the basket. But that takes practice. It takes hours and hours of practice. It's fascinating how many times and how often basketball players practice. Larry Bird, you know, the parquet floor that they had in Boston, he would go around with a basketball and he'd bounce and he'd find the weak spots before the game because of the flooring. And he knew just where to steal the ball, because when a player from the other team bounced the ball there, the ball wouldn't come up that fast, and so he'd creep in and he'd steal the ball. And he cased out the floor ahead of time so he knew exactly what was going on. But that came with practice. And eventually they got on to him and started working on the floor, I guess. But in the process, through experience, the believer has his spiritual insight sharpened. Now, that sharpened insight equips him to grow in a discernment of both good and evil. Often what happens is you grow in discernment of evil first, because that's the thing that stings the most. But then you also discern good. And there's a big difference between good and evil. And God equips us through this experience to grow. Now, the initial readers of the Epistle to the Hebrews had thus failed to apply Scripture to their lives over a long period of time so that their insight could be sharpened to discern good from evil, so that they would withstand pressures to return to dead errant Judaism and rather devotedly adhere firmly to the Lord Jesus for blessing. They were thus spiritually lethargic. They were blind. They were vulnerable to pressures to compromise with error. So the readers of Hebrews needed to repent of their failure to apply Scripture extensively and consistently to their lives so they could, by experience, have their discernment grow to equip them to withstand pressures to compromise with destructive error and a loss of God's reward and to desire to do righteousness for its blessings. So if we have not grown in discernment, may we heed the Hebrews 5:11-14 call to be consistent appliers of the word and mature in spiritual discernment to avoid the harmful pitfalls of deception and abound in blessing. If we see others fail here, may we not copy them, but apply Scripture consistently to mature. Sometimes the best lessons we can learn is from the failures of others, because it enables us to avoid that kind of a situation. It's amazing how applicable this was. There was a concern that I had on my mind today about an issue or two, and I have kept notes from years ago when I wrote them up about the angelic conflict. I've got thick notes. So I decided I would get the notes out and looked at them, and all of a sudden there was a section that I'd written there probably 20 years ago, and it slammed me right in the eyes. I thought, whoa, that's applying directly to me. And I was surprised at how something I'd written 20 years ago or whatever, 15 years, I don't know how long ago, had direct bearing to what I was facing at the time. But that equips me to latch on to that truth. In fact, that's one of the passages I read every Friday. I do a Friday studies as a pastor, when I go through the angelic conflict. And I just have a tendency to just skip over it and go over it. But I didn't really see the intense application that I needed to make until today. So it's encouraging. And so I find myself still growing in this area of discernment and learning to appreciate more and more deeply the truths of God's Word. So that's what God wants us to do. The Christian life is a school. We never get to the point where we've learned everything we can learn. There's always more to go. There's always more to grow. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to keep on growing.